Some people start out well in the Christian life, but don't necessarily end up well. And as we resume our look in John's Gospel, we see some pitfalls. We see some things that become a hindrance to running the race of life, to continuing on with Jesus. The scripture we're turning to this morning is in John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. And it's actually picking up where we left off the last time we were here in John's Gospel. I've entitled the message, Committed to Christ, Committed to Jesus. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is the devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, as we take a closer look at this passage of Scripture, we find several things that are really important that are tied in with this matter of continuing on with Jesus. Those are printed on the sermon note sheet if you find that helpful. If not, they should also be in the screen here in front of us in a little bit. But we must not allow the hard things to become a stumbling block. And then secondly, we must not miss out on what the Lord has for us. And he has so much for us. And then thirdly, we must not turn back. So let's start with that first one. We must not allow the hard things to become a stumbling block. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation where you've listened to somebody talk, perhaps give some official kind of presentation, and then you said, "Boy, that's a hard pill to swallow." You've used that expression? Perhaps the boss had a meeting to tell people at work about some changes that were being made, and that just was not going to work very well for you. Or perhaps the school district announced schedule changes that would really end up complicating things for you and your family. Or perhaps government regulations were put into motion that would have a significant impact on what was required of you or how you needed to do things or couldn't do things or whatever. Well, in verse 60, it says, "When many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?'" So what is it that became difficult for these people? Some of it may have been that it was harder to comprehend what he was saying, especially with Jesus saying things like, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." That's what he said in verse 53. But some of it may have been that the teaching of Jesus was harder to accept. Mark Twain supposedly put it like this. He said, "Some people are troubled by the things in the Bible that they can't understand, but the things that trouble me are the things I can understand." Did you get that? He said, "Some people are troubled by the things they can't understand in the Bible, but for me, It's the things I can't understand. Now, even if you haven't had children, you may have observed that it's those things that are understood that can become the most, the biggest consternation. Things like, pick up your toys, we're getting ready to leave. Big consternation, right? Or, let's get your PJs on, we need to be getting ready for bed. Got to brush your teeth? Okay. Or, let's come in the house, it's time to get that homework done. You with me? You've observed that, haven't you? Of course, we all did it when we were that age as well. But Jesus called attention to a couple of reactions the disciples were having. They were complaining, for one thing. They were complaining. We see that in the first part of verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, I don't know if we've ever thought about it, but complaining against God can become a major stumbling block in the Christian life. It can affect our relationship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul was mindful of this when he wrote to the believers at Philippi. And so he said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, he said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So that begs a question. Have you and I been complaining about our lot in life or complaining about whatever it is that the Lord has called us to and has put before us? If so, we need to be reminded that it can become a major pitfall. Not only were the folks complaining, but they were getting offended. In the second part of verse 61, Jesus said to the disciple, well, he actually asked the question, does this offend you? Does this offend you? These people were offended not because they got cut off in traffic or because someone had started some rumors about them or not because they had been overlooked in a promotion and not because their spouse disappointed them. They were getting offended at all the claims that Jesus was making about himself. Right after he asked the question, does this offend you? Jesus said, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Jesus had told the people that he was the living bread that had come down from heaven and that those who believe in him would have everlasting life. But not everyone was ready to accept that claim. Not everybody was ready to accept his authority. Something very similar had taken place in the community where Jesus grew up. And that's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 to 57. Matthew 13, verse 54 to 57 says, now when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. Isn't that interesting? They were offended at him. How about you? Do you recognize the fact that Jesus was much more than just a carpenter? Do you acknowledge the fact that he was the Son of God and thus does teach because of who he is with authority? Do you respond to his call to abide him in him and to follow him in daily life? Complaining against God and getting offended are actually major pitfalls in walking with the Lord. And if we're going to abide in Christ, truly abide in Him, then we must not allow the hard things, the harder things, to become a stumbling block in our relationship and in our ongoing walk with Him. Now, moving on then to a second thing here. If we're going to thrive in the faith, then we must not miss out on what the Lord wants for us, on what the Lord has for us. So in verse 63, in the first part of verse 64, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Unbelief is a great pitfall. It's a great stumbling block, a huge stumbling block. And it keeps people from experiencing the spiritual blessings that God desires and wants for us. A moment ago, I shared how folks in Nazareth were offended at the things that Jesus had to say. Now, if I would have continued further in that passage of Scripture, I would have read a statement that should have caused us to stop dead in our tracks. It says in Matthew 13:58, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Is God able to work among us? When Janet Echols was 13 years old, she received a dreaded diagnosis of retinitis pigmentosa. It's a degenerative disease of the retina that gradually stole her sight. And by the time she was 31 years old, her world had gone completely dark, and she couldn't help but wonder what her life was going to be like. Would she ever be able to be at all productive again? Or would she just sit around the house doing absolutely nothing? Janet continued to seek God, and she tapped into His strength in an effort to bypass the trap of self-pity that would rob her of hope if she let it. And then one day she said to the Lord, "Please take me wherever you want me to go." A couple weeks later, there was a friend that dropped by her house, and before Pam left, she handed Janet an audio cassette, and Janet said, "Well, what's this?" And so Pam explained. She said, This recording is in Spanish, and I know you're fluent in the language, and I was wondering whether you could translate it into English for me." Well, Janet agreed, and when she returned the English translation, Pam was thrilled, and she told her, "Janet, no one has ever translated this clearly for me before. You know, I think you should be an interpreter." Janet was stunned by the idea. She had expected or thought that, well, perhaps God would be able to use her somehow in volunteering at her local church. But she never imagined that He would open the door for a job opportunity. So Janet ended up calling a company that provided clients with interpreters, and a few days later, she was told she had to take a test, and she's like, "Oh no!" And then she said, "You know, is this a written test?" And the answer was, "No, it's an oral test." So as she went, she did so well that the very next day, the company sent her to the immigration court to interpret a case for some Spanish-speaking people seeking asylum. Now, Janet ended up loving her work, and she continued to study, to practice, and to train. And her involvement, her success in court interpretation, led her to a job with the world's largest over-the-phone interpreting company, where she ended up working for over 20 years. Now, what did Janet attribute to her becoming an award-winning interpreter, to traveling around the country, flying different places on her own, and to actually writing books? She said, "Nothing is impossible when God is involved in it." We truly need to seek His guidance. And she went on to say, it was God who opened the doors because I couldn't see what steps to take next. That's good counsel for all of us. That story, by the way, from the book called To Pray. So, are you and I on board with what the Lord wants for us, or have we been missing out because of unbelief? Perhaps just not thinking or just not believing that God would have something for us and that He would want to be at work in and through us. Are we in a position or in a posture where God is indeed able to, can freely work in our lives, working in us, working through us, bringing His purposes to pass? Or do we quench the Spirit of the Lord because of our unbelief? Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So if we want to flourish in the faith, then we need to feed on God's word. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. That's from Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. We need to take to heart what God says, embracing His word and allowing that word to nurture us and to guide our steps. This is brought out also in Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Does that paint a picture of something that is unproductive and unfruitful, and we just nothing for me? No, quite the opposite. It paints a beautiful picture of that which is flourishing, of that which is alive, of that which is being sustained by the word of the Lord Himself, that is growing in the faith, that is productive. So instead of missing out on what the Lord has for us, let's continue then to be people of the word. Let's take advantage of opportunities to study the scriptures, and to reflect on those scriptures, and to be guided by or directed by the scriptures, the word of the Lord, you see. Now, this takes us to a third thing that I said is tied into this entire matter of being committed to Jesus, and that is simply that we must not turn back. Notice again verse 66. This is quite an indictment here. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Also, verses 70 and 71, Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, when I was pastor of the Gray Ridge Mennonite Church, we got to know a young fellow. And we got to know him because he came into the Coshocton community getting involved in the mission there, Missionary Maintenance Service. That's the ministry that we have, one of them that we help to support on a monthly basis, where Glenn and Chris Everett are on staff at. So there was this young fellow. We got acquainted with him, and he started attending our church. He had a very positive testimony. He ended up with all of this teaching our youth Sunday school class for a time, and he was thought to have a great future, a very intelligent person, a great future as a follower of Jesus and as a mission worker. He was going through the program, which would involve getting his A&P license. What is that? Airframe and powertrain? Am I right? So that he could work on missionary aircraft. And but then something happened. I actually sat down with him, or Diane and I did, and said, "How in the world did you get from this point to that point?" He dropped out of the program. He stopped coming to church. He was actually renouncing his faith in the Lord. I mean, literally doing that. He walked with the Lord no more. Now, the Bible has this exhortation for us in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Now, one of the reasons that you and I are to meet together regularly with other believers is that we might exhort one another, encourage one another, be of help to one another. What is the goal with all of this? Well, it's that we might be, that you and I might be steadfast to the end. Our calling is not just to make a profession of faith, saying, "Yeah, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God." It's not just to have water baptism administered as a sign of that profession. It's not just to be connected to a local church, but our calling is actually to be following Jesus. It's actually to continue to walk with Him. So there may be people that drop out, that go back, that betray, that walk with Him no more. But may that not be the case for you and I. May it be the case for you and I that we continue to move ahead, that we actually flourish in the faith, that we are actually productive in Him, that we're actually becoming and growing up into Him that which He saved us and created us to be. May we abide in Christ, may we dwell in Him, may we feed on Him, may we grow up in Him, may we serve Him, may we love Him, may we walk with Him, may we be committed to Jesus, that one who gave Himself for us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bow before You this Lord's Day morning, and just amazed, Lord, at how relevant Your word continues to be as it addresses things that we deal with in life. And we pray Your forgiveness where we have fallen short at times of Your perfect will and way, and thank You for Your grace which You so freely extend to us. We pray, though, that You would continue to be at work in our midst and bring forth Your purposes and helping us in our walk, and helping us, Lord, that we might continue to be focused on You. Guide our feet. Help us, Father, to continue on in this journey We just need you. We pray your blessing upon our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would this day especially continue to be with Adam Schenck as he's onward to Burkina Faso and his conference and his time there the next several weeks. Bless our other missionary workers. Yes, those that are at MMS even now preparing for service wherever it is that you direct and call. Continue to help us in our life, in our witness, in our service for you here in this place. Continue to work abundantly. Please do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us, and may you receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.